Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. In this episode, we hear from Josh Matthews about GBC's Bible read-through. We talk about the why, what, and how as we look back on this last year's Bible read-through plan, and then we look ahead to the 2025 Bible read-through plan for GBC. Whether you've never done a Bible read-through of the whole Bible before, or maybe you're that person who has already completed this year's Bible read-through plan, either way, I trust you'll find this discussion valuable as we seek to be a church whose members are formed by God's Word, week over week, year over year, as God's Spirit uses God's Word to build and shape God's people. All right, listen in as Josh and I help you prepare for GBC's 2025 Bible read-through. Bible Church, for this week's episode, we are going to talk about Bible reading plans, why they matter, what they are, and our dear brother and friend, fellow elder, Josh Matthews is here with us. Dr. Matthews, thank you for being here.
Yeah. Glad to be here. It's an honor.
Yeah. Awesome. So before we jump in and kind of walk through Bible reading plans, why we do it at GBC, why it matters, all that fun stuff, I thought it'd be really good for those that haven't had a chance to get to know you much yet, to just kind of get to know you a little bit. So first, why don't you tell us what should someone know about you that doesn't know you yet?
Let's see. Well, I've got four kids that you may know in the church, and Stacy's the women's ministry director and is doing a great job at that. And, leading the women of our church to grow and knowing the Bible and loving the Bible. I work at Western Seminary, and I grew up in a family that loved the Bible. So my dad, both of my parents grew up in a denomination, the Plymouth Brethren Assemblies is what they called themselves. But there's a lot of things you can say about that denomination, and not everything is perfect. But
is that from like Plymouth Rock? Plymouth Brethren?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know the whole history. It's J.N. Yeah. Darby, I think, is the founder. And there's a lot to it. But one thing that they did was really love the Bible. So my memories of my grandpa on my dad's side were that every time we were up there for Christmas or whatever, he was always the first one up. He had his Scofield reference Bible. Yes. He got a new one every year, different one every year, would write notes in it. When he was done with reading it for the year, he'd put it up on the shelf, get a new one, and start again the next year. And he was always the first one up, always doing that first thing in the morning. And my parents both instilled that or carried on that love for the Bible and tried to instill that in us kids. What else do you want to know?
Two follow-up questions on that.
Okay.
One, how many times have you read through the Bible? And I'm not trying to ask you like in a humble brag way, just honestly, as you've given yourself to God's word, just what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. I really don't know. Somewhere between, I don't even want to put a number.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe for most of my adult life, I've tried to read through it every year or some. There was a phase where I was, reading through it in 2 years or sometimes did like a more condensed reading in a few months. But just try to make it a regular habit. And
for
my work, obviously I study it in different ways for preaching or for my work teaching. So hard to put a number on it. Yeah. Sorry.
I just always appreciate personally and pastorally that to you, God's word isn't like a have to or a check the box. Like you've given yourself to it. You've tasted that God is good in and through his word. And so I love your heart for it. I'm blessed by it. So,
thanks. Yeah. And I think it's a both and kind of thing. I mean, it's certainly over the years and still there's times when I do it out of a sense of duty or, but not just to check the box because I want to earn God's favor, but I know that this is good. This is how God has given me to know him. I love it. And it's, you know, it's something that I look forward to, but it's also,
yeah, it's a
also
discipline.
Not easy. Yeah. And so the good kind of duty is still how functionally, how it works itself out from day to day in a lot of cases. But yeah.
Okay. Well, before we explore the Bible reading plan more, my second follow-up question, maybe for my own amusement, but I think for those that don't know you yet, I would love to hear you tell a story briefly. We're recording this around the holidays. Would you please tell us the story of the time, like true or false? Have you hitchhiked from Colorado to Oregon to be home for Christmas? And it feels like a Hallmark movie. So here we go. Yeah. Could you just tell us that?
Well, there's, yes, I did. Okay. There was no romance involved with it. But I went to a 1-year Bible school right after high school in Colorado. And it was in the mountains of Colorado, Estes Park, Rocky Mountain National Park.
Awesome.
Wonderful experience. Part of my story of growing and my love for God's word. But I didn't have much money. I was 18. We had a car there. Me and four of my friends bought a Subaru for $500. We each put in $100. It broke, like the axle broke. So it was a 4-wheel drive, but the only way it drove was with the rear wheels powering it. So it was a rear wheel drive Subaru, which there's no such thing as a rear wheel drive Subaru in the snow at 9,000 feet elevation. And we would take that into town to do our grocery shopping and laundry. But so all that to say, I didn't have any money. I had a job at the YMCA of the Rockies. And I was just going to stay there. All my friends were leaving to go home for Christmas it was like a 2 or 3 week break. And I was going to stay there and work because I couldn't afford to get home. The day they all left, I thought, what am I doing? I want to be home for Christmas. I don't want to be here by myself for 2 weeks. That's depressing.
You're going to have a Shining situation if you had stayed behind.
Well, that's where that was filmed up there.
Overlook Park Hotel.
So anyway, I just thought, well, I'm 18. I might as well just try for it. I might as well try to go home. I had heard stories of people hitchhiking and thought, well, I'm just going to pack up, bundle up, and see how far I can get. So I just started going, and it took me, I think, 5 rides to get from Estes Park up to Fort Collins or Cheyenne, Wyoming. That's right. It was Cheyenne, Wyoming, where you get on the interstate that goes all the way to Troutdale, basically. And I got there with 5 rides and thought, oh man, this is going to take forever.
It's like how cold is it in Cheyenne, Wyoming?
Well, it was really cold.
Yeah.
I think it was like 0 or something.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So I stood on a on-ramp to the 80 or the 90? I think it's the 90 at that point that goes east to west. Uh-huh. I stood there, I don't remember how long, an hour or two, and gave myself a time and said, if I don't get a ride by whatever time it was, then I'm going to start trying to get back to the school. Well, a trucker stopped right at like the end of my deadline, and I ran down there and he said, where are you going? I said, I'm just going west or something. I forget what I said. I didn't want to say that I was going all the way to Troutdale. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Troutdale.
Wow.
And so I rode with this guy all the way. We stopped, I think, for a few hours for him to sleep. But yeah, man. Got to Troutdale and then walked home from Troutdale and just knocked on my parents' door. And they're like, what are you doing here? So it was great. And then my parents kindly... I think they paid for me to fly back.
Oh, wow. So your parents didn't know that you were hitchhiking to be home for Christmas.
Was it like a buddy comedy movie with that guy in the truck? Like, are you guys lifelong friends and stay in contact?
I got in as soon as I sat down. He's like, well, hopefully you're not very talkative because I don't like to talk. And I was like, yes, perfect. This is perfect. But then he talked my ear off for the next 25 hours or whatever.
I just love that story because you're a grown man with responsibilities and a family and a doctor, and you hitchhiked from Colorado at 18 years old to be home for Christmas in Oregon. So thank you for sharing that with us.
That's awesome.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, if some people knew that, maybe some others didn't, but I always love hearing you tell that story. So let's jump in. Bible reading plans. why do we as a local church, like, why are we about this and wanting this to be a rhythm year over year? And then we'll kind of jump into the 2025 plan. So pastorally, as an elder in our church, Josh, why would you say we should do a Bible reading plan?
Yeah, I'd say there's a lot of reasons. I mean, we're Gresham Bible Church. We want everything we do to be informed by the Bible. It's because of what we believe about the Bible. It's it's God's inspired word to us, how he kind of the main source of his revealed communication to us. It's how we know him. And that's why it's central to our preaching. That's why when we think about our church distinctives, it's the first one, and really informs all of our distinctives. And and so as elders, we just always are talking about how do we make sure that that's really true, that we're not just Bible centric in name only, but that it really does live at the heart of who we are as a church.
Amen.
And so we were talking about a few different areas of kind of focus for this next season of Gresham Bible Church. And one of them was just wanting to see the church grow in our familiarity with the Bible, our love for the Bible. It's already at the heart of what we do. It's how we preach from Scripture. And people, I think, as a whole, people of Gresham Bible Church know their Bibles. But there are also... there are also forces in our world today, and probably in every era of human history, that are kind of working against Christians reading their Bibles and growing in love for and familiarity with the Bible. So a Bible read-through is just kind of a pretty straightforward way to encourage people to give regular time to it. You could just sit down and read through it in one sitting or in large chunks, but it's designed to be something that takes a little bit of time, relatively small amount of time every day or every couple of days. So we thought this would just be a practical way to help get the Bible in front of people's consciousness and mind and heart regularly. There's a lot of tools out there to study the Bible, and we're doing Bible studies, and that's a really important part of, again, having the Bible central to what we do. But the thought here was that the first stage to studying the Bible is actually reading it. And sometimes I think maybe we jump right to learning about the Bible, and kind of want to get to the quick answers or the summaries or the what the experts have said about it. And we sometimes step past that first step of just giving time to just reading it and growing in literacy. And the only way to grow in literacy or familiarity of the Bible is to just read it
And
read
yourself to it
again.
Yeah, I know it's not unique. Like, we didn't have this aha moment, a Bible reading plan. No one's ever done this before, right? But just, I love that we do it together as a local church. There's good for each individual Christian and for us corporately to do it together. Always think of when Bible reading plans are talked about, Jesus's prayer for all who would believe in him in John 17:17, Jesus prays for us, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Mm-hmm. So we need to be about it and give ourselves to it. So year over year, Lord willing, we'll do Bible reading plans. Just think of the long-term cumulative effect that can have for the health and mission of GBC and our discipleship if we just give ourselves to be people of the book. So so much we could talk about why we do Bible reading plans, how we go about it. Let's kind of zoom in, focus in on the 2025 plan, because it's a little bit different than what we did last year. So you did a great job in 2024 designing it for GBC. Each week on the church blog, you help walk us through it so we don't miss the forest for the trees. Yeah, so good. Anthony Perez did a great job designing last year's plan. You did the content. He did the design. Same idea going into this year. Thank you, brother. It's a huge blessing. So why don't you explain that little difference? Like, what's the focus or emphasis this year, and why do you think like that's a good thing?
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I could step back and say a couple of other things too. Just, I did mention that some days it's a duty, and there is, in the way we have the plan designed, there's a little box you can check. And so, for those those of us,
if I'm being honest, I get a little dopamine hit.
I love checking the box.
Yeah, I think there's, if you can see that part as a positive thing, then that's great. Yeah. And if that feels like a legalistic kind of like, well, I'm only doing it because I have to, or I'm doing it to try to achieve something or earn God's favor. Well, yeah, we want to be a gospel-centered people too. And hopefully the truth of God's grace in Christ will alleviate some of that tendency towards legalism. But I think it's fair to acknowledge that that could be a tendency, and we don't want that. We don't want it to be something that we're with a heavy hand saying, everybody at Gresham Bible Church has to do this or else you're kind of on the second tier of faithfulness.
Well said.
And we want to also say at the same time, we're encouraging people to do this because we think it's a good thing and we want to do it together as a church and in unity. And it's been really rewarding, I think, for those who've done it this last year to be able to talk about it and to say, man, we're on Ezekiel. How's that going? And so that's part of the encouragement too, is that if we are kind of making the investment of building this habit and we're doing it together, we're going to see rewards for that. And it's going to, I think, move fairly quickly from, okay, I'm going to do this because I know it's a good thing to do, to I'm going to do this because I know it's a good thing to do and I'm really enjoying it and seeing the fruit and it's life-giving. Just say that kind of generally about the plan. Really, in a lot of ways, the 25 plan is very similar to the 24 plan. And maybe for those who haven't done it this last year, the idea is to go back and forth between Old and New Testament as kind of the broad strategy, but not each day. So it's not some Bible reading plans will have like an Old Testament, New Testament reading in the same day. But we wanted to see the continuity, at least kind of from book to book or from section to section. So like we'll go through Genesis for several days or however long it takes to get through Genesis and then jump to the New Testament and kind of alternate back and forth that way. So we can get a sense for the overall movement of individual books. And then the goal also over time is to see how the books relate to each other.
Right.
But I think this has provided some really, I think, providential connections where we're, the times when we're reading something in the Old Testament, we happen to jump over. And I could take credit for this, but I'd be lying that there's a lot of times where the New Testament reading we're doing or the Psalms readings we're doing just really fits with and complements the other reading. So that's one of the benefits of going back and forth. But also, you know, I teach Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I think it's one of my favorite things about doing a read through like this, and what we're committed to in preaching at GBC is that the Old Testament is just as much God's word as the New Testament. And at the same time, it's fair to acknowledge that when you're in the Old Testament without having any New Testament for a long period of time, it's a little bit, it's more Jesus anticipated, the gospel anticipated, and it's a little more veiled and it kind of in the shadows. You see a lot of the times you see Christ in the Old Testament by contrast, by seeing how every other person and institution was kind of a failure that anticipated the real thing. And so to be only in that for all the months it would take to get through the Old Testament, if you just went Genesis through Revelation in that kind of order, it would be a bit daunting. And it would we felt like it would be good to have Jesus in there regularly.
That's a good thing.
And so that goes into some of the strategy of to the nuts and bolts. We go back and forth between Old and New Testament. And then the Psalms are kind of spread out throughout the year. So in chunks, we tried to, for this 2025 plan, I tried to position the Psalms even more with some more intentionality so that it's coming at times where maybe we need a bit of relief. So like during reading Judges, a pretty dark book with a lot of heavy themes. And, that's when we also read some Psalms, so that each day we're getting a little bit
of... thank you ahead of time.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Relief by kind of the way that the Psalms just speak to the thoughts and feelings of our hearts. And that could be a lament psalm or a praise psalm, or different kinds of psalms tend to. I think for most of us, they're a bit more... I'm not trying to say that they're all easy to read or, but they tend to speak more directly to our heart than a book like Leviticus or something like that. And then, so back and forth between Old and New Testament, with the Psalms kind of spread throughout. And then we also move last year and this next year, tried to move those books that we're going to be preaching through on Sundays into this spot in the season or in the year where we're going to be preaching them. So it's not exact this next year, especially. It just, so we're reading Ruth and... actually, come to think of it, Ruth is in its canonical order in the reading, just because it worked out that way. Yep. But some of the other things we're reading, Joshua, I think is moved forward in the reading plan to fit the time that we're preaching through it. And so that was another piece that you'll see that could feel kind of disruptive. Like, why are we reading this here? It doesn't come at this place in the order of our Bibles, but it's because we wanted it to fit with the preaching schedule. And then the other thing that's different about this next year is for the Old Testament, we did it in the order of the Hebrew Bible. So the Hebrew Bible, it's probably the order of the Bible that Jesus would have been reading at, would have been in place at that time. It's a bit different than what we find in our English Bibles. And I won't get into the history of why it's different or what our Bibles represent, kind of the tradition of ordering that our Bibles represent. But it's a bit different order in this reading plan, and it follows the order of the Hebrew Bible, which is more in, it's grouped by three parts, law, prophets, and writings. And so like in Luke 24, where it says that Jesus talked to his disciples and revealed to them how the Old Testament pointed to him. It talks about he showed them from the law, the prophets, and the Psalms or the writings. So it seems like there's evidence even within the New Testament that Jesus was reading this kind of three-part Old Testament order. The books are the same. They're just in a different order. And it's not because we believe that there's some sort of inspired meaning in the order, but that there's a significance in the order. And so that'll be something that you may be reading along and think, wait a sec, this looks different than the order. Why are we reading this now? Maybe most obviously it will be reading Isaiah after 2 Kings. Mm-hmm. So in the Hebrew Bible order, it goes Genesis through Deuteronomy, same as our English Bibles, that's the Pentateuch or the Torah. And then it jumps right into what's called the prophets in the Hebrew Bible, which is Joshua, Judges, skip Ruth. We can talk about that more later, but Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, and that's called the former prophets. And then it jumps right from Kings into Isaiah and then goes through what we think of as the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then the minor prophets. So we'll follow that order. And I think it'll be interesting, maybe instructive to think about the implications of that order being different. And in the church blog, we'll talk about that a little bit. But I'd also say, don't get hung up on that. It's not, there's a lot being, there's a lot that you could chase
this
down.
It's not like some secret that we
not some key to unlocking the meaning of the Old Testament, but something that will just, I think, shed a little bit different light on it and that we can explore together. We can talk about in Bible studies. And there's certainly a lot of resources you could follow up on digging further into that.
Yeah. Just hearing you say that actually may be helpful for someone to hear who's never heard of that before. What would be like one benefit or thing someone could reasonably anticipate about going through it this order? It's not a secret. It's not quote unquote, more Christian or spiritual, but maybe whet someone's appetite, like, I maybe wouldn't have seen that as much. What's something that comes to mind?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think that the example I just mentioned maybe is the one of the ones that we could point to go through the history of Israel, you know, coming from Genesis and then out of the Pentateuch to when Israel enters the Promised Land and in Joshua. That whole period from Joshua to the end of 2 Kings is a continuous story of their time in the Promised Land that is a story of decline in a lot of ways. They fall away from the Lord and they end up in exile. That's kind of the really short version of that story. And then to go straight from reading about the exile, getting both Israel, the northern kingdom, getting exiled to Assyria, and then the southern kingdom, Judah, in Babylonian exile, it's a really sad ending to that story. And then to move straight from that after reading 2 Kings to reading Isaiah and then Jeremiah and the prophets, which are really essentially their explanations of the exile. Right. And they go back and kind of give this prophetic commentary on what happened and why it happened and what God's perspective is on that story that we've just read. So reading the prophet's assessment of Israel's story in such close proximity to this story itself, I think is helpful and instructive. And then when you read the Psalms and these other books and the other books of the writings, kind of that last section of the Hebrew Bible, they're going back and giving more kind of hopeful expression to what is a pretty dark story, and then the prophetic assessment of that story of decline and God's faithfulness in spite of Israel's unfaithfulness. So those are a couple broad scale examples. One maybe smaller scale example is the book of Ruth in the Hebrew Bible order follows right after Proverbs. So historically it's out of sequence. But it seems like it's intentional. So without going into all the detail, Proverbs is, you know, it's about wisdom. And at the beginning of Proverbs, it's extolling wisdom, instructing us to seek after it. Wisdom is personified as a woman throughout Proverbs. And that's a kind of a key theme, this female character of wisdom personified. And it culminates in this chapter 31, the Proverbs 31 woman is a virtuous wife or an excellent wife. It's translated different ways. But it's kind of like the concrete example of wisdom personified. Well, in the Hebrew Bible, you turn your page and you get to Ruth. And the only other time in the whole Old Testament that phrase, excellent wife or virtuous woman, is used, it's used to describe Ruth in Ruth chapter 3. So it seems like there's some intentionality there that whoever kind of put these in this order put Ruth after Proverbs 31 to say,
that's awesome.
Here's a historical example of even a more concrete example of what wisdom personified looks like. And it's this woman who happens to be a key piece in the line of the Davidic promise that leads to the Messiah. So that's one example where Ruth makes a lot of sense coming after Judges also in our English Bible order, where Israel doesn't have a king, things are chaotic, and here's Ruth, the story of this person who led to the Messianic king to come. So it makes sense in both orders, but it puts a little bit different kind of flavor on it.
Super cool too, because GBC will be in Ruth in different ways in 2025. We'll be preaching through Ruth around mid-year, and then hope it's okay for me to share this. Women's ministry Bible studies are going to be in Ruth too. So as we give ourselves this Bible reading plan, it'll help us see the broader texture and connections and everything. And something I would plug or encourage for Gresham Bible Church, I know people do their own individual reading plans. Some people have never like read the Bible in, you know, all of old and all of new. But one benefit of giving yourself to the GBC plan is you're kind of like a tour guide along the way. Like each week you kind of help us see the connections and tee it up. So I would encourage someone who maybe hasn't utilized the Gresham Bible Church reading plan before, like take advantage of it. It's awesome. So yeah. How about, that was an awesome description of it. That makes me excited for it. Just hearing you say it too. How about for those who have, like, maybe someone, older saint in our church, has read, you know, all of the Bible in a year multiple times. Maybe there's someone who hasn't yet. It feels intimidating. Maybe there's a misconception of that's legalistic. They haven't tasted the sweetness of it yet. Like, what encouragements would you give to our church as you go into the new year, and I'll tee it up a little bit, like every year I know it's good, but every year I know I'm going to feel like a failure at some point in time. I know people talk about that a lot. It's a thing. So like, how would you encourage us pastorally to give ourselves to it?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I totally relate. I feel the same. I mean, I think one, keep grounding ourselves in the gospel that it's not our achievements that give us worth or find us favor in God's eyes. Yes. Praise God for that. And two, I think the Bible is meant to be understood. I think it's the more I study it and the more, I love thinking very deeply about it, the more convinced I am also that it's again, God's way of knowing, of making himself known. And so he's given it to us in a way that you can read it without ever having any kind of exposure to it at all and learn and grow and get and know God better through it. And so, I think, and you can study it for your whole life as your profession and spend hours a day studying it and still just be scratching the surface. And so it's this, it's that kind of beautiful combination of those two realities that, I think keep driving us again and again to just read it and read it over and over and read it for the first time if you haven't read it and read it for the 200th time if you've already if you've been reading it your whole life. I guess 200. I don't know if anyone's
done pretty awesome.
200 read throughs, but probably. So that's one encouragement. I think another thing I would say would be go into it with the expectation that you may come out of your reading each day with more questions than you have answers. That hopefully you'll get, you know, some clarity on some of the things that you go into it and you read it and you think, oh, I wonder what that means. And then as you keep reading and get the context, you'll have some answers to those questions, but you'll probably also come out with a lot more questions. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about it. And one of the things that we can all encourage each other in is to not feel like you have to come out of it with all the answers. Honestly, I think the immense number of resources that we have these days can be a barrier to actually reading it. Because there's so many great things out there that kind of spoon feed like the synthesis and the study, the results of study, someone else's study, that I think it can make it feel daunting. Like I can't do what this expert has done so well for me. So why don't I just go and hear what they have to say about it rather than encountering God's word directly for myself? So I think there's several barriers to doing Bible reading. But one of them is because there is so much good information out there. And so I think we can, what I would encourage us all to do is work against feeling like we have to have all the answers to be doing it right. Mm-hmm. Yes, we want to grow in our skills and abilities to understand the Bible and, what you and Todd do and what, happens in a Sunday morning in the sermon is a good example every week of modeled good reading practices. So I think even without knowing it, as a church, we're all learning reading practices. And we want to keep doing that. And we want to keep finding ways to instruct in good interpretive skills and methods. And at the same time, and this is certainly happening in our men's and women's Bible studies, and those are super important. And at the same time, I think it's good, and the encouragement would be to read it even if you don't understand it, or even if you feel like you're just barely grasping it, because you're probably taking in a lot more than you think you are. And over the course of a lifetime of reading, you're building a foundation of familiarity that will then, as you accumulate skills in interpretation and reading practices, that familiarity, that foundation of familiarity will just be more effective. And the pieces will fall together with much more kind of intuitive, natural ease than having to try to force yeah, force the study part of it. So yeah. I guess I'm encouraging us to think about study and just simple reading for familiarity as two different but related things, both of which are really important.
I think that's so helpful because we all want kind of that aha moment or just like the clouds part and there's just this sweet joy to it, which mm-hmm. is beautiful. And there are times like that. But to give yourself to the long-term formative nature of submitting yourself to God's word and knowing yeah. the overall structure and how the pieces fit, like how many dear saints have we met who've walked with Jesus for years and has given themselves to God's word, and the kind of person they are as God's spirit uses God's word to form God's people, like, man, that's the kind of man I want to mm-hmm. be. And so I just think this is good for us as a church to enter into the formative nature of giving ourselves to God's word. Like, what's the downside
yeah.
of that?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. So
yeah, that's well said.
Yeah. Cool. I love this conversation. We could talk about it for a while. Thank you so much, Josh, for building this for our church, how you in 2024 wrote the weekly blog post to help, mm-hmm. just all the hard work you and Anthony have put into it. Can't wait for 2025 for Gresham Bible Church to keep growing and being a people of God's word. And so thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. And I've loved talking to people, hearing people's stories about the enjoyment they're finding in it. And hopefully we'll have more of those to come this next year too.
Yeah. Lord willing. Yeah. And so, if someone hasn't, done the GBC Bible reading plan before, if you have, you know, all the information's on our website, go to it, talk to Josh on a Sunday at church or reach out to hang out over coffee and just talk about it. If we continue to grow in being a people of God's word, that's just so important and we don't want to take that for granted. So, all right, Gresham Bible Church, as always, if this discussion sparks any questions or comments, I would hope you'd be on board with this. Like, what? We read the Bible at Gresham Bible Church or whatever you want to talk about. Point of this podcast is that it facilitates real in-person face-to-face conversations. So reach out to me at mike@greshambible.org. Love you, GBC. Until next time. Thanks.